Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 read, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me Pastor Mike.
Mike Schaus, right here.
Mike Schaus, thanks for being here, Mike.
Hey, Bryce, thanks for asking me. Can I ask you one quick question before we start?
Yeah.
Oh, we already started, but yeah. What is the context of that verse? What is happening in that passage you just read?
Oh, yeah. Well, man, that's what we're talking about today.
Oh, is it? Oh, good.
It absolutely is. In fact, last week and this week is really just to give the context of that verse.
That's just the Moses, right?
Yeah, this is okay. Moses on the mountain. Yeah. Yep. So that's what we're talking about.
One of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I agree with that. Because, well, let's just jump into it, Mike. Wow, it. You're just rearing to go.
I was just like, when you were reading that, I was thinking, oh, I love this verse. This is where he wants to see his glory, right? But God won't, you can't see it and live. So like, didn't he have to like turn around? Or God, this is his backside past, right?
Man, literally, look at this. Here is my first point. It's my actually first subpoint. Exodus 34. This is verses 19 to 23, a direct answer to your question.
Okay.
And actually, I think that's chapter 33.
I'm going to go there. Exodus chapter 33?
It should be Exodus 33, okay. 19 to 23.
Okay.
And it says this, because Moses had just asked God, like we talked about last week, show me your glory.
Yeah.
And then here's God's reply. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord.
Man.
And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.
Man.
An amazing scene.
It is. I love how he says like, glory, and God says, my goodness. I will have my goodness.
This is interesting. We could do a whole podcast on that.
I know, right?
Why his goodness?
The goodness is his glory.
It's a good summary of everything he is.
Heck yeah.
I mean, what I see in this passage are two things, because Moses has made the request, show me your glory. And really this quarter, that's all we're trying to say. We're praying to God, show me your glory. So this quarterly focus for this month and the next two is theology proper. Not in just an intellectual way, so you know what all the omnipresent, omnipotent, what that means, but we're really just wanting to see God's glory more clearly. This passage is interesting because Moses shares that desire and he cries out to God, show me your glory. And God's response is two things. One of the things we can't do, the other one we can't. Number one, he tells Moses, I'll put you in this rock, I'll pass by, and you can see my back. God the Father is spirit. He doesn't have an actual back here. So this is anthropomorphic, humanized language to help us understand what's going on. And really what we're supposed to get from that is Moses was allowed to see some of God's glory with his eyes.
Yeah.
But God was saying, you can't see all of it. Hence, you can't see my face, meaning you can't see all my glory, you'll die. But I'll show you some of it. Now that part, God could do that, but probably won't for any of us. So we will not probably see that glory in this life like Moses did. But the amazing thing is, there's another way God answers his request. He says, number two, I will proclaim before you my name. Because that's the twofold answer. I'll make my goodness pass before you. That's the visible answer. And will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And that's the audible answer. The amazing thing is, though we can't have the visible one today, since we have the Bible, we can have the same experience Moses had of seeing God's glory audibly, by hearing the words that I just read. So that's why I've titled this episode today, The Beatific Sound. For the next few months on this podcast, we're just going to be walking slowly through the beatific sound, that God's glory as he revealed it in these two verses, who he is. I call it the beatific sound because there's a famous idea in theology, the beatific vision, which just means the vision that makes you so happy or blessed. And it's the idea that one day in heaven, we will see God as he is, whatever that means. But it will be the culmination of all our desires. The culmination of all our desires is to see God, beatific vision. But even right now, though we haven't experienced that yet, we can have a beatific hearing. That's what we're doing. When we hear about who God is and embrace it by faith, there is a beatific hearing of his glory.
So you're saying we can hear this passage and then like understand what's happening, imagine ourselves in the situation, and come away changed from this, what you're saying by beatific, Pat?
Yeah, very much that we will hear in the next several weeks attributes of God, things that are true about God. And even though we're not seeing it with our eyes, if we hear with faith, then we have in part answered for us what God answered for Moses when he said, show me your glory. God said, I'll proclaim my name before you. That's how I'll show you my glory. And so today, when we hear his name, who he is, that's his name, everything about him, when we hear that proclaimed, if we accept it by faith, that is a kind of seeing God with the heart. That's why Paul prays that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. So we hear it, we believe, there's a beatific sound. So that's the encouragement here with this episode, is even for the next 3 months, when we're thinking about God, don't settle for just knowing the theological terms. Know them, but it has to go beyond that. There has to be an embracing in the heart of what we learn about God and a rejoicing in what we learn.
Do you feel, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't want to throw you off your thought, but do you feel that, so, you know, there are people, and even us, you know, struggle with sins, repeated sins, right? Something you know is wrong, and you actually are battling against it. I'm not saying you're, you know what I mean, like, oh, I wish I could stop that. But, you know, like John Piper, and I see so little war, you know, murmur. Why am I this way, right? They are making war. They are, but it just keeps failing. Do you feel like the one way to conquer like these habitual sins or whatever is to behold the glory of God, to see when you get that vision of God high and lifted, it everything pales in comparison, and you realize, right? You think, I mean, does that make sense? I feel like it's the only way. Like you try to put these put off and put ons, you know what I mean, to battle sin, but I mean, there comes a point when you have to see God high and lifted and to know who you're sinning against.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, A.W. Tozer, I think it's in The Knowledge of the Holy. He says that. He says, I believe that every failure in doctrine and in conduct ultimately can be traced to a low view of God. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the opposite of that would be true, what you're saying. Therefore, a high view or an accurate view of God, it conquers our sins. And even though we do practice put off, put on, it takes this effort. Got to put the effort in or you don't grow. The effort really only works. Where do you get the motivation to put the effort in is kind of the question. You know, where's the motivation come from?
It's like, where does faith come?
Yeah, yeah.
Faith to believe in God. Where does that come from?
It has to come from God.
Yes.
And God is the object of it. So any growth we do without God in the picture, as like, okay, God and his Christ in the picture, any growth we do apart from that, it's just moving sins around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I have a few questions for you, Mike, here,
okay,
related to what we're discussing with the beatific sound. I think we could understand seeing God's glory. Usually in the Bible, God would manifest his glory in a bright light. You'd see that and go, wow.
Shekinah glory.
Shekinah glory. Moses' face glowed.
Oh, yeah,
because of it. None. That makes sense to us. But this other experience of hearing God's glory, help us understand that. We've been talking about that a little bit, but someone who wants to hear God's glory, so they say, show me your glory, and God says, I'll proclaim my name to you. How does that answer it? How are we beholding God's glory just by hearing about him in Scripture.
So hearing the word. Mm-hmm. Okay. You and I were just talking about this earlier. I can't remember the parable. Was it the parable of the sower we're looking at?
I think so, Matthew 13 we were looking at.
Where it talks about the kingdom comes from hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about that, you know, on the way over here. I was thinking, because I knew the podcast was about listening or questions or something, you know what I mean? And so I was like, hearing, like, just how God flips everything on its end. You know, we would think that, you know, we were talking about leaders, right? So, like, usually I think of a strong leader as this guy that, you know, I'm not listening to anybody. You know, I'm doing what's right. I'm speaking out. You know, I'm strong. I trust myself, you know, and it's like, okay. Gospel's totally opposite, right? God's kingdom comes from hearing the word of God. What is the number one requirement? You have to be a good listener. A good listener, which means you step back, you know, from yourself, and I'm just focusing in, what is Bryce asking me here, right? What is this question? And I'm listening to this. And so that I think about some of my, like, greatest moments of, like, oh, where you get that epiphany, and all of a sudden you sense that glory of God. You know, a lot of that comes from listening to a sermon, right? I love listening to sermons. I was listening to one earlier today by Tim Keller. I listen to yours every Sunday, right? And then again, when I edit it, I don't edit yours. It's somebody else. I do your Sunday schools, which have been excellent, by the way. I can't be in there, but I love listening to them. But you get those moments, right? When you hear the truth of God and, you know, you're believing it because you know it's the word of God, spoken from God, and it penetrates into your heart and you see this truth and it changes you from the inside out. You know, that's the only thing. When you're beholding who you are, who you truly are, and who God truly is, your place in that relationship, I mean, I can't, you know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those, and can't really describe it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's good because that was going to be a question I was going to ask, but you are right. It somewhat defies description because I was going to ask, what does that look like in your life when that happens? When you're hearing God's word, you're hearing, and you perceive his glory. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, 1 Corinthians 4, the veil is removed and we see the glory of Jesus. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We have that experience, even ongoingly as believers, where you're hearing. I mean, we've all had the experience, you can be honest, even in some of my sermons, where you're hearing it and you're not getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're thinking about the flooding in your basement or something. And we've had other experiences where you're hearing God's word and your heart is on fire. That's what I was going to ask you about. Have you had those experiences? What do those look like when you're hearing and faith comes in and you're beholding God's glory in your receiving of Scripture? How has that looked in your life?
Oh, man. I can think of many examples. I'll mention two because they're totally different. So one of them happens pretty often, leading music here at church. And Stephanie Hartzell, a couple weeks back, there was a song that was suggested that she do as a special number from somebody in the congregation. And she was like, you know, I just don't see the Scripture in this song. And that's one of those things, like when we're singing these songs, this happens more than it doesn't. You know, if anybody knows me, knows that I'm like a nervous wreck every Sunday morning because of sin. It's my own anxiety, right? And I just like, I can't talk. How am I supposed to lead people? You know, it's like, oh, you get this accurate, you know, your heart knows you or our hearts are deceitful. But in one sense, we know, you know, oh my gosh, we know what a failure we are. But there are several Sundays there comes a moment where there's a song and just the words, the Scripture of that song breaks through and you just forget about everything and you're just focusing on that truth of God. And it just, I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm lifted up in like the seventh heaven, you know, it's like I forget where I'm at. I'm just enjoying the presence and worship and it's beautiful.
You know what I mean?
And there's another example, I think totally opposite, where I'm just by myself. I could think of, I was reading, it's a book we all read together. It was like I think it's like a kind of a rainbow in the front maybe. And it's like a white, I don't know if it's about attributes of God.
Is it Delighting in the Trinity?
I think it's Delighting in the Trinity. It's what it is. Okay. Yes.
Yep.
So here I am sitting on this beach, right, by myself in this chair. And I'm just reading this truth about the Trinity of God, you know, which is complex. But you get these little glimpses of the eternal, and it's like, oh, and all of a sudden when scripture clicks, you know what I mean? Like, oh, wait a minute, I know what this is saying. This makes sense. And it just grips your heart in that truth, you know, and you're like, oh, you just sit there in that moment, just looking out at the ocean and God's creation and just thinking how vast and unknowable he is, but he allows us in these little windows, you know, to perceive his goodness.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. And to give a shout out to your boy, Tim Keller, you know, and as you're describing that, his sermon, Blessed Self-Forgetfulness. Blessed Self-Forgetfulness. There is a sense in which encountering God, really seeing his glory, it does make you see your own creatureliness. Isaiah cries out, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. So there's a sense there is a self-awareness there. But some of those highest times of worship when you're really seeing God's glory, that does seem to be a characteristic. It's almost absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost like you're taken to the third heaven or whatever, because you're pulled out of all your troubles in your life and you realize just how little it is.
Yeah. And you realize your true identity. Like, yeah. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. I have this power of kingdom, you know, of all this, everything that the kingdom of God represents, his authority, all that, you know what I mean? His power to defeat anything. You have that by what? By hearing the word of God. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just listening with an open mind, open heart. What is he saying to me?
Yeah, and that's going to be our whole goal, even on this podcast in the next several weeks, as we move into the different attributes of God. Again, you can learn the data about it, and that's great. That's great. You should know what the word omnipotence means. Good, good. But it is different when you encounter God through his self-revelation. We're not making up a God. You're reading scripture or hearing scripture, but when your heart sees him, that's what Moses wanted. Show me your glory. And that's what we want to. Thank you for helping us understand that more, Mike.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Bryce?
Yeah, for sure.
This is one of the questions you posted to me, but I'm going to ask it of you because I'm kind of curious your answer. Is it possible to study theology with that cold, like with a deadness?
Oh, definitely. I mean, go look at the highest seminaries and the people writing the books, you know. I mean, sadly, it is true.
It's crazy, isn't it? You're studying these truths, but yeah, I imagine for like pastors or anybody, you know, I mean, theologians, at one point it could become like a job and then it changes, you know what I mean?
I mean, even to this day, some of the theological or linguistic resources that I will use week to week in preparing a sermon were put together by German theologians and thinkers and linguists and what have you. And some of them never saw God's glory, never. And they studied the Bible word by word, putting lexicons together, you know, word by word in the original language, in its original context, more than any of us could ever even begin to dream, and never saw God's glory once. So to answer your question, definitely yes. But the encouragement on the flip side is, you and I are not as brilliant as these German thinkers. We're just not, nor shall we be.
Thank goodness, because I want to see his glory. Yes. So I'm glad I'm not too smart for my own good.
Yes, and that's the idea is, that is an encouragement, because while we do have to use our intellect to receive God's revelation, it's in language, we got to receive it. It does remind us that Jesus came and cared for the lowly. He called fishermen to be his disciples. And so if you are listening to this and you feel like, I'm just not that smart, or I'm not a great reader, I'm not some big thinker, wonderful, wonderful.
Praise That's God.
Fine, yeah. You got to read a little bit, at least hear scripture somehow. But it really is a matter of the heart to receive that and to see God's glory. Well, if you're listening to this, and maybe that's been you in the past, you thought, I'm not going to get into theology about God. It's way above me. I can't understand it. Or maybe you've been excited about theology. You love the big words. They're so exciting to you, but you've not tried to press through them to the God who they are about. Whatever the case in the past may be, may God help us all now to think this way.